Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children's name. All right, we are live, and we're coming to you live here at Old Paths Broadcast, and it's a good time to be inside. It's been cold for a while, and we finally have some warm weather, and we're thanking the Lord for that weather, and a little bit of warm weather anyway. Today we had a little bit of a heat wave at 34, and then it went straight down to nothing. Literally like 18 degrees, 15 degrees. I mean, it just dropped and it started to get really cold. So we thank the Lord for a little bit of warm weather, but I'll tell you, it's not exactly, a cakewalk out there. We'll be happy and praising the Lord for some spring weather here sometime soon in the future. But anyway, it's good to be with you here on the Old Paths Broadcast here this week. I'm Pastor Jason Cooley. And Lonnie, our producer, he's on his way to do a lot more of the work and things that need to be done there. But in the meantime, I'm gonna just keep rolling along here and try to make everything go smoothly. It's interesting. Everything that's been going on in our world today, quite a bit this week, and it doesn't seem like too much time goes by before we have to talk about a lot of the things that go on, that we're just pounded with it. It seems like of just bad news and everything else. But before I get to that, let me just say this. Let me just say to you that we need to pray for a brother in Christ named John Howe. His little baby girl has come to a place where she has an aneurysm in her brain and she's not going to make it. She could pass away any time. And obviously we know that she'll be with the Lord, but it's a sad time for the family. And I just would ask you to pray for him and pray for his family. What a tragic time. Nobody wants to go through that. Nobody wants to have to bury their children. It's one of those things that is just, unspoken, unwritten rules that you just don't, you want to die before your children. You don't want to bury them. But I would just ask that you would pray for him tonight and his family, that the Lord would just give them some comfort. They don't know how long that they're going to have, but the Lord does. And we just pray that, he would answer the prayers and comfort the hearts. And these are all believers in Christ, they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we just want to lift them up in prayer tonight and for having to remember them in the days to come here. It's tough to express words. Brother John's been on our program before, and he's actually taught on repentance and talked about, the biblical doctrine of repentance. Please keep that family in your prayers and tonight and lift them up. To move along here, the news just seems to get worse here out of Washington. Obviously, we don't expect it to really get any better, but it seems to be getting worse. It seems that I guess we can expect this with our president. I mean, they're almost all the same, all the presidents in that case. But it seems like things are getting
a lot more drastic here than what they were before. Our economy and everything else is just in a terrible position right now. But you know what? I want to say something to you. When I talk about that wake up, you know, I want you to wake up. I want you to understand what's really going on here. Do you realize that the House controls the purse strings for the federal government? And the House just voted for a
wake up!
Thank you. Do that one more time, that wake up one more time, will you? See if you can figure that out. Anyway, well, I'm awake from it anyway, but listen, we've got a problem.
Wake up!
Thank you. Man, that almost scares me. That's so loud. Anyway, but we've got a problem here. We've got the House passes a bill to raise the debt ceiling, sends it to the Senate. The Senate's going to sign it. It's going to go to the President. It's going to be in law. Now, let me ask you a question. If there was really that much opposition, why would they do that? Why would they, if they weren't all on the same team, then why would they do that? You're the House. I mean, you've got the power of the purse string. Why aren't you using it? You are. You're using it to fit the regular agenda. What's the agenda? You're both on the same side, doing the same thing. See, it's this game that's played with the American people is what it is. It's a game. And this game that's played is to make you think that there's actually a difference. Well, let me share something with you, friend. Here's what's going to happen. The difference that you're going to see, you're going to start hearing some differences, but it's only going to be the closer you get to election time. But their voting record, the way that they speak any other time, and everything else that they do will not reflect any difference until you get down to that point to where an election comes up, and then they're all going to what? They're all going to act like they're both different. That they're not the same. They're different people. They're different groups. They one's a Republican, one's a Democrat. What good does it do if they're all the same? What good does it do if they have a D or an R behind their name if they're exactly the same? You know, what good is it? What does it profit? It doesn't profit the American people anything at all. What we see is just a big scam. And it's sad that this is what we've come to, but this is where we're at today. This is exactly where we're at. They had an opportunity to stop this. Say, no, we're not going to do it. But they didn't, because they're all on the same side. 90% of them are all on the same side. They're not working to do anything. They have the power of the purse string. I would like to hear somebody give me an excuse to why they believe that it was right for them to sign this debt ceiling increase. We don't have the money. So start cutting things. Start cutting things. It's not that hard. It really isn't. In your budget, you have to do that. Apparently, they don't have to. Anyway. So, as we look at just some things in the news here this week, hey, I saw something encouraging though from a police. I seen an InfoWars ad here, and I'm not an InfoWars junkie or anything, but I seen an ad that an article in about two people that went to the airport, and they were actually. They were actually protesting the TSA searches and opt out and everything else that can be done. And the police officer, actually the sheriff, upheld their constitutional rights to do what they were doing. And the man, the airport was mad. But the sheriff told him, hey, listen, you can't stop this. They're not doing anything wrong. There's nothing illegal about what they're doing. I thought that was rather encouraging to see that. Because we really don't see that many. We really don't see that many people that are sheriffs and those in authority and power that are willing to stand up for what's right. We don't see that much anymore. And unfortunately, but we should, but we don't as much. But anyway, so, you know, then we have China that's flexing its muscles in U.S.-led military exercises, and obviously China will ramp up what they're doing, and, you know, which it makes sense. You know, it makes sense that, they're going to flex their muscles. That's what they're going to do. I mean, they, you know, they're starting to get more power, and, you know, more, the more debt that they take of the American people, the, you know, the more that they can flex their muscles, and the more money they make off of us, the more they can do. And they're making a lot of money off us and, you know, everything else like that. But anyway, it's, China's not a good country, that's for sure, in a lot of ways. But America is slipping down into something just as bad with the way that they handle things. America's is getting just as bad as China or everything else, anybody else, with the way that they deal with things. You know, unfortunately, that's the way it goes. I mean, human rights violations, oh my goodness, those are starting here. I mean, they are. They're starting here. I mean, they've been here for a while, but it's happening. And you know, unfortunately, this is the way it goes. Anyway, well, listen. As I look down further here in the news and all everything that's going on and the challenges that our country faces here, we are sitting with a deficit that is extremely high. Obviously, we have Rand Paul that's concerned about security issues here this week. And what does Rand Paul do? Rand Paul comes out and he says, "I'm going to sue the TSA, NSA. He's suing the NSA." I thought that was very fitting that he would do that, but he decides to sue the NSA, and he gets with a couple different I think it's senators that are actually on the lawsuit with him. I'm not sure, but I thought that's what I had read. But that's exactly what he's going to do now. Kind of amazing, isn't it? That we have to go to these links, but hey, that's what our country affords us. That's what our Constitution affords us to be able to do. So let's do it. You know, let's do it. Let's sue them. You know, if this, hopefully it'll wake them up. I hope it'll wake them up. Do I think it will? No, I don't think it will, but it could. I don't know. It could force something. Let's hope and pray it does force something. You know, I just seen a video from a young lady that did a video on, she does these political videos type things. She's a libertarian type person, and she was talking about, you know, Be My Valentine or whatever, and really she was talking, it was a parody, and she was really talking about the TSA. She was talking about how the TSA, what they're doing right now, by listening to all your, or excuse me, I keep saying TSA, I mean NSA. The NSA, how can they keep listening to all your phone calls? They, what's the difference, right? TSA, they violate you physically. The NSA, they listen to all your conversations. It's like an alphabet. They're all the same. They're all wicked as hell is what they are. But, anyway, so you have the NSA listening to all your conversations, monitoring all your text messages, everything that you do, everything that you put in an email, every bit of communication that you give, unless it's word of mouth, you know, or right in front of somebody that you're giving it directly to them. I mean, they're monitoring everything. Your computer, it's said that they have the technology to turn that on and off and everything else like that. I mean, everywhere. They're monitoring everything. Unbelievable. So, Rand Paul's going to sue him, and this lady makes a video of it, which is kind of funny, but, you know, the point that she was making, and it was kind of funny, that, hey, should these people know, you know, everything about us like this? And some people say, well, I don't have anything to hide. Well, I do. That's why I wear clothes. I wear clothes because I have something to hide. That's what I do. Don't you? I put doors on bathrooms because I have something to hide. Makes sense, doesn't it? I put curtains on windows because I have something to hide. Ladies dress modestly because they have something to hide. Right? I mean, that makes sense. Something to hide, sure. Don't we all? Tino says, I'm too tired. He says, you need to get some sleep. You're tired. No, I'm not tired. I'm getting fired up. I just had to wake up a little bit and get a little bit excited here. So now I'll have something to yell at Tino about. He told me this. He says, then why don't you wear a bag over your face if you have something to hide? That was a good joke, Brother Tino. Just for that, I'm going to dock your pay, except I don't pay him anything, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, but everybody has something to hide. Is there something wrong with that? Is there a sin in that? Is there a sin in that? I don't think so. Hey, I don't think so. God told us to hide certain things to cover ourselves. God told us to do that. Now this plan of the Antichrist is to do what? The plan of the Antichrist is to listen. He has to listen. He needs the TSA. As we steamroll through to the end here, the Antichrist, he needs the TSA. Why? Because he's not God. God can hear everything. I keep saying TSA. I mean NSA. But whatever, it's all the same. He needs them, too, to search you at the airport when you go away. It's that spirit of Antichrist. Boy, I just can't get the TSA out of my head this week for some reason. TSA, NSA, whatever, they're all the same. They're both evil. But those two organizations, all of this spying, all the things that are going on, they're needed. Why? For when that one world government is set up. When the final one world government is set up, they're needed. They've got to have it. They've got to have all these extra things. They've got to have it. Why? Because they can't do it without it. They're not going to be able to spy on people. Don't you get it? We're getting set up for a one-world government. That's what's happening. One-world government. You know, I listened to a message from, or actually a video from Kent Hovind just last week. It's one of the older ones that he has online. And man, those things are good. If you haven't watched those creation videos, watch them. They're great. Man, they're good. What he explains in there, but he's talking about the New World Order. There, if they come into a city near you, he said he wasn't lying. He's right on the money with that. Exposed a lot of the things that were going on out there. And we praise the Lord for him and hear that he may be getting out here pretty soon. So that would be a blessing to see that. But anyway, this is what our government needs, these things. They need to spy on you at every chance they can get. Why? Because they're setting up for a one world government. That's why. Yep. That's what's going on. And these are the days we live in, folks. You know, just sick days, awful days that we live in. All right. But perilous times. The Bible talks about these times as perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And these are the times that we live in today. I don't think anybody really argued that point too much. This is where we're at today. This is what's going on. Hey, in Pittsburgh, a Pittsburgh man is facing animal cruelty charges after he allegedly used a machete to decapitate his mother's chihuahua. He decapitated his mother's chihuahua. I mean, it's just, it's insane. This, by the way, you teach your children to respect animals. You know, yes, I'm a hunter. I believe in hunting. Although, you know, and eating the food that you hunt up and using every bit of it and everything like that. But you know what? You don't allow your children, you don't allow your children to abuse animals or do anything like that. When they grow up, you'll train them to be rotten and evil. They'll do it to human beings. You teach your children to be good. And the Bible says to be good to your beast. It says that, in the scriptures that we're to take care of what's ours and be good stewards of that. So that's just something to think about because, you know, I have a feeling half these people that grew up like this didn't have any direction over them at all. They grew up on Prozac and drugs and everything else. And it's sad, but that's the truth of it. Anyway, so, but just sick, perilous times we live in. We need to wake up and understand the times. And no, I was just reading in Chronicles here this morning in my Bible study time, and I was looking, and the Bible talks about David gathered some men. Some men were gathered together, and they were men that understood the times, it said. You know, that's what we need today. We need some God-fearing men to work together out here that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe in His Word, and understand the times, understand what's going on here in this wicked world we live in. Amen? We need to do that. And we need to understand that. There's too many people that are walking in what I believe, and I don't mean spiritual darkness as much as I mean just they don't know what's going on. That's why we're doing this segment here. Not so I can just get on here and just complain about stuff. It's so you can be informed about this and understand that you need to wake up and understand these are the times that we're living in. They are perilous times. They are awful times that we live in. And we're seeing just the culmination of just wickedness. Just the music industry, like we're going to talk about tonight. I'm excited to talk about that. We're even going to have Brother Brandon Teague. Pastor Brandon Teague is going to come on tonight for a little while with us here, and we're going to talk about a few things here tonight about rock music and the death culture, and that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. But we'll finish out this segment here, and then we'll kind of get into that here when we come back. But end times here that we live in. You got Snowden over there that's supposed to be an enemy of the state when he informed the American people of exactly what was going on in this country, that they were spying on us, that they were doing all these things to us. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it unbelievable? That guy is an enemy, but somebody that lies and perjures himself and doesn't tell the truth about what's going on and keeps and withholds things from the American people, they're heroes. Isn't that something? Huh? Something very sad. Hey, Putin reaches for superpower status. Well, it's not too hard when you have a president like ours in office. I mean, Putin already looks like a superpower. I mean, himself, not counting Russia. I mean, just look at him. I mean, he doesn't walk around like an effeminate sissy. Oops. Anyway, which is what we have now, by the way. And that, by the way, that goes for a lot of these politicians that walk around like this. It's pretty sad, actually. You know, it's pretty sad. But anyway, it's the times we live in. And when Putin walks around acting like a man and we see Obama, you know, playing basketball in his, I don't know, his little shorts, it's just kind of weird. But anyway, it just looks funny. I'm sorry. It just really looks funny. But anyway, that's what we're at now. That's where we're at now. Wow. I mean, perilous times, just wicked times. When you just look at the news and just see what's going on here. My goodness. Wow, that's a crazy story. I don't even want to talk about that. Unbelievable. Hey, Homeland to activate National License Plate Recognition Database. Isn't that wonderful? Homeland Security to activate National License Plate Recognition Database. Isn't that great? As if they can't spy on us enough or don't enough, we've got to make sure, we've got to have a plate recognition for your license plates. That way we can track you. Just remember this, what the Bible says. And all the world wondered after the beast. Yeah. Beast has to have that control. That control's got to come. And this is the way it's going to be implemented. Over time, it's been implemented. You know, and over time, it's been that way. And over the last, I mean, I'm just amazed at how fast things have progressed in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm absolutely shocked at what's taken place in the last 4 or 5 years. It's just unbelievable. Let's see, we have somebody saying here, internet governance to U.S.-centric, says European, to U.S.-centric, says European Commission. Oh, boy. You know, I'm surprised people around the world, I know they all spy, but I'm surprised these countries around the world just, I mean, you know they hate our guts, and people say they hate you for your freedom. No, I don't know. They might hate you because you're spying on them, listening to all their conversations, and you got, like, every phone in the world tapped. Is that not scary to you that these people can tap, like, every phone in the world or something like that, or millions and millions and millions of billions of phones? That's just downright scary. I mean, when you think about it, you know, it's just, but these are the times that we live in again, so get ready. I mean, it's going to get a whole lot worse. It ain't going to get better. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you, it's going to get a whole lot worse. It isn't going to get better. I do not believe, as I've looked at this situation with government, I do not believe that we can turn this big beast around. I mean, you've got to starve the beast, first of all, and nobody wants to starve the government because they've made it so they've got hands into everything, and they have made it to where it impacts every single facet of the economy. Well, let me ask you. Look at the medical field now, and look what's taking place. Do you believe that we could switch that around now? Think about it. I mean, yeah, we could chip away at it. We could try to fight it. But let me ask you, really, once they have their hands into that, look what they did to Social Security. You think you'll ever end Social Security? You think you'll ever get them to stop taking your money out of your paycheck? No. Once they have their hands on something, they don't let it loose. Nope. They don't let it loose. Once they get their hands on it. Now look. The medical field. Hospitals, medical fields, everything like that. What do they have? They have their hands on it. So what's that going to do to us? Well, it's probably going to ruin it because they ruin everything they get their hands on. Why? Because they don't have to answer to anybody anymore. They're not scared of us anymore. See, they used to be scared to be voted out of office and to be, you know, and for them to be in trouble. You know, legally even. Lose their jobs, be in contempt, whatever the case may be, any of those things. What now? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing happens to them. They make a lot of money. The rich get richer. The middle class gets shrunk to nothing, which is what's going on right now. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. Middle class is being shrunk down to absolutely nothing. People are going without. People are losing things. You got people losing their jobs and houses. Then the president to this week signs federal minimum wage is now going to be $10 an hour now. It's going to go up from $7.10 to $10 and something. Yeah, in 2015 or whatever. But the point is that we don't have the money for that, and notice it's federal workers. Well, isn't that interesting? You know, that's the place to work now is the federal government. They're the ones that get all the money for everything. They're the ones that's how it works now. We need to wake up, folks, and understand that they're turning this into an us versus them type thing in thought process. When really what we need to do is say, you know, we need to scale back on these things. We need to vote. And I don't know. I don't know. You have Rand Paul that's trying to make a difference. And I don't agree with every position he holds. But this is where we're at today. And better wake up, though, and realize it. You know, it's sad. But this is where we are. But we thank the Lord. I mean, we're still in America. We still live in a land of the free, sort of. And the home of the brave, or I hope they're brave anyway. Most of them aren't anymore. But I pray that God's people would be strong and brave. And listen, we're looking for a country, you know, a city not made with hands. We're looking forward to glory, amen. This is not our home. We're just passing through. This isn't everything. This isn't the end-all, be-all for us. Amen. Being with the Lord Jesus will be. Hey, we got to go to a break here. We've got the Marksman Quartet and John was a Baptist. And we come back, we'll be talking about rock music and the death culture. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I'm here, brother. Can you hear me? All right.
All right, I can hear you perfect. You go ahead, brother, and welcome back, brother.
Well, I didn't see my shadow today when I came out, so I think we're good on the weather. So I've been gone for a while, but anyway, no, it's beautiful weather down here in Texas today, and the Lord just really blessed us with a nice day. We've had some pretty frigid temperatures down here, and I had to do a little busted pipe work, and just had a lot of fun with it, but anyway, it's good to be back on the air, and it's good to be back with you. And I tell you what, brother, God is good, and I just want to give him all the glory because the devil really tried to take me out. He's done so many things over the years to try to absolutely silence me, destroy me, to take me down, and he attacked family this time, and he attacked deep. It was very, very powerful, the blow that he put on us. And I can honestly say that had it not been for God's grace and God's power and God's word and the Holy Ghost of God just holding us together, I don't know that my marriage would have survived this. I don't know that my family would have survived this. I'll just say this much. It was a problem with our children, and he attacked our children. And God has worked out even in the midst of all the troubles that went on there. God has worked out everything to his glory. I can honestly say that we have come out of this stronger. I stepped aside because my house wasn't quite in order throughout all this chaos, and I knew that I had to take a step back. Our church in unison told me to just take as long as I needed to step back and let God do whatever he was doing in my life and just take the time. And we had an elder man in our church who pastored for 53 years and had just recently retired, and he stepped up and preached in my place and preached some really good messages, some things I needed to hear. And we had Brother Tino grow up in during that time, and I want to give Brother Tino a shout out. He did a tremendous job for us, and he put on his creation seminar, and we recorded everything on video, and as soon as Brother Lonnie gets those done, we'll have those hopefully available for everybody to watch. God just used Brother Tino to be a big friend to me, a big help to me, and I want to tell him I appreciate him. God strengthened my marriage. I believe God's allowing my children to be strengthened by all this. So I just want to sock the devil a big fat black eye tonight. So, he didn't win. God is able. He's able to overcome any obstacle we face. I just want to say praise God for all he's doing. And just thank God for my wife standing by my side throughout all this. Thank God for our church standing for their pastor. And I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you and the time that you've put in my absence. And you've done a tremendous job, and I just thank God for you. But anyway, just want to give God glory. But it's good to be back on the air, and I'm looking forward to everything that God has for us.
Amen, brother. There's a lot to do. There's always a lot to do in this. As we serve the Lord and preach the gospel and preach the truth out there and try to reprove a generation of lethargic people and Christians that are sleeping, they're largely sleeping through what's going on in our world today. And there's so much apostasy out there. There's so much, and we've got to, like you said, we've got to have our house in order. We've got to pray. We've got to. And that goes for anybody, not just a pastor, but anybody. Your house has to be in order. You got to live for God and serve Him, and make sure your children are strong and protected and everything else that you can do. this world, the Bible says in the world you'll have tribulation. In me you'll have peace. You know, and boy, is that ever the truth, because, you know, brother, it's not hard to find trouble. It usually finds us. And,
that's absolutely right.
You know, we don't have to go looking for it. It'll find us. And, we just have to trust the Lord through it and be strong. You know, be faithful to Him. Well, brother, you have a little bit of history of what we're talking about tonight here with rock music.
Sadly, I do, brother.
You do. Would you like to talk about that and kind of open up with that a little bit and just tell us kind of your experience with rock music? And I don't know if folks really heard that yet. So I'd like you to kind of share that and tell everybody what you've done with rock and roll music in the past, what the Lord had brought you through and that kind of thing. And then some of the examples of, you know, we're talking about this death culture. We're talking about familiar spirits, all that kind of stuff we've been talking about. And I want to hear what your thoughts on that here, on what you've experienced.
Okay, well, just to start, I know this is going to take some time.
No, we got plenty of time.
Oh, I know. I mean, I could take up the whole show with this story, but anyway, let's just go back to my growing up. I mean, I got saved when I was 7 years of age. I there's no doubt about it. I knew I was a sinner. I was under conviction of the Holy Ghost, and God brought me to the point of understanding I was on my way to hell because of my sins. And I got born again, and I got born again that night, and was baptized in that little missionary Baptist church in Arkansas. And, you know, brother, you know, my mother did her best, but she was married to what I believe was a lost man. He was Church Christ, and you know, there was beer drinking in our home. There was, you know, not a very good Christian environment. My mother did her best, and she tried to provide one, but it was a home that was out of whack. And there was a lot of temptation because there was no strong male leadership. There was no spiritual leadership at all from him. So, I just latched on what everybody else was into as I grew up. You know, our church wasn't a thriving church. It was a, you know, Sunday school teachers probably read Sunday school quarterly on the way to church and, you know, and got a few thoughts, but that was about it. We didn't grow much. And our pastor preached way over everybody's head. He was an English professor. So, you know, I didn't grow like I should have. And it was a lot of, I attribute a lot of it to being my own fault because I really didn't study. I didn't have a thirst. My thirst was not whetted for the scriptures. I didn't have somebody to disciple me. I had nobody to take me under their wing and say, hey, you know, you need to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to get to know who the Holy Ghost of God is, and he wants to be there and help you through every facet of your life. Brother, I didn't have that. I really didn't have that. Most of the people that I was around growing up were very spiritually illiterate, if that's a term. But I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your average churchgoer out there who is saved, but they've never sat under good preaching. They're never sat under somebody who's really created in them a thirst for the Word of God. And I didn't. And you know, if you don't have that,
yep.
If you don't have a church like that, if you don't have a preacher like that, if you don't have somebody who takes an interest in you and to guide you along spiritually, you're going to flounder and wander. And that's what I did. And I wandered. And, you know, the devil was very pleased to try to take me under his wing and try to lead me down a path that would ultimately destroy me. And that's what he did. And I'll tell you this, brother, I don't know if you're old enough. I mean, I know you're about 9 years younger than I. But do you happen to remember the Columbia Record and Tape Club?
I do.
11 albums for a penny. It was in all the magazines. And my mother got a lot of magazines. And I found that, brother, and when I found that, well, honestly, let me take you back. My stepdad's brother, one weekend afternoon, I sat down in his living room and he closed the drapes. I'll never forget it. He closed the drapes. He had built, these huge speaker cabinets. He had bought all the speaker components and they had a construction business. He built these massive, speakers and he had, you know, some super duper stereo system. He put on an album. He put on Thin Lizzy, Jailbreak. I'll never forget it. And I was holding the album cover in my hands, and I remember looking at those guys, and then that, man, that guitar, it just went right through my being, and those drums, and I sat back in that recliner, and he sat over and smoked his Marlboro and just kind of nodded like, yeah, I had my stereo cool. But I'm going to tell you, something was happening to me. It was alluring me into that world. And I remember it like it was yesterday. That was my initiation into rock and roll. And I just had a thirst for it after that. I wanted to hear more. And so I looked on that Columbia Record and Tape Club article or whatever it was, ad, and I picked me 11 albums out. And, brother, some of the things I picked out were Kiss and AC/DC and Styx and Peter Frampton and things of that nature. And I got caught up in that whole rock and roll world. Van Halen, I got caught up in that world. I borrowed my uncle's drum set, put it out in our garage, put on my headphones, and I try to play drums to Van Halen. I wanted to be a rock star. And it took me down a long, long path. Here I was going to church on Sunday, and I'd hear the Bible taught, I'd hear preaching, but it wasn't resonating. Again, I didn't have that role model in my life leading me and trying to help me along. And so it just took its toll, brother, and there were people around who were influencing me and friends, and I found myself running from God. I knew I was saved, and I knew I was a child of God, but I found myself running from God and running, trying to find that dream, that rainbow of, being on a stage and playing rock music, because that's what I thought I wanted to be. And I know it's hard to equate that with saying, man, that person's a Christian, but you know what? I was a prodigal son for 20 years. I ran, and I went off into the city. I went at a young age. And I know there are people out there listening who've gone through the very same thing, and they wish they could get those years back. I wish I could get these years back we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
And I wish so bad I could get them back. And that, just like Paul, he talked about Stephen, and he talked about, I know Paul was lost when he did all that, but I look back on that time that I wasted for God, and I can't get over it. And I know that whatever I'm going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a big deficit deducted because of those 20 years that I ran from God.
Yeah.
But to get back to the story, when I was 16 years of age, some guys that I was running around with and we were trying to put a band together, they decided, and they were rougher kids than I, they lived a hard life. Some of them said, hey, let's run away and start a band. So, hey, I facilitated. I had a truck, and I helped them. And we took off, and I ran away from home at 16. And which ended up, long story short, it landed me living with my dad out here in Texas. And once I ended up moving in with my dad, him trying to discipline me and corral me, I found some other guys and got in a band. And, brother, it took me down a hard, hard road of sin. And, that lifestyle, everything that goes with it, it's nothing but just pure sin. There's nothing good about it. And, I mean, whether you're a bunch of redneck kids who know four or five chords on the guitar and play at a party in a pasture, or whether you're somebody on a stage in Madison Square Garden, it makes no difference. The same sin goes with the music, and there's a vibe there that it carries. And Gene Simmons, I know there's quotes. Gene Simmons says that's what that beat is. It's sex, and he's right.
Yes, he is.
He's absolutely telling the truth. He's not making any bones about it. Frank Zappa, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. He taught that course at Baltimore Conservatory of Music. I've told it on the program, and one of the teachers I had in Bible college, he studied under him, and he said, we purposefully play most of our songs at the same beats per minute as the heart pumps during sexual activity to work people up into a sexual frenzy. So there's definitely that sin. It's sin is so tied with rock and roll music. I mean, it's all it is. It's like a fetid kitchen sponge sitting up on top of the dishes in the sink, you know, and it's just grimy and grungy. I mean, that's the way rock music is. It's so full of sin. And brother, yeah. It took me down through my 20s. I spent some time playing country music, but I ultimately went back to rock and roll. And the last band that I played in, I played in a band with a friend of mine from earlier in my life. And I want to tell this story, and I know we'll have probably to finish it on the other side of the break.
That's fine.
But when I was – do I now?
No, that's fine, brother. You keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, earlier in my life when I was younger, I had run across some guys, and I got to know this guy, and I'll just call him by his first name. His name was Jeremy, and Jeremy and I became pretty good friends. He worked at a music store. We got to know one another, talking music and different things, and he was in a different band than I. Well, just over the course of time, things worked out. We wound up in the same band, and I'll never forget it. We were playing a show at a club, a nightclub in Tyler, Texas. And Jeremy met this female, and she was a witch. And he spent the weekend with this female, and she moved in with him when we got back home. And I want to tell you something freaky, brother. This happened. This really happened. I didn't understand his attraction to her because she was kind of slovenly looking. That's about the best way I can put it. She was overweight. She was very unkempt. And within about a month's time, he gained the same amount of weight that she lost and began to take on her appearance. I mean, everything that was wrong with her was now wrong with him, and everything that had been right with him was right with her, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked this girl, and I asked her one time, I said, I was standing in her kitchen in the apartment that she lived in, and there was this odd-looking little ceramic thing on her countertop, and it looked like a tree with branches, but the branches were bowls, and they had weird-looking little granules of things in them, and I asked her, I said, what is that? She said, that's a spell tree. And I said, a spell tree? She said, yeah, that's where I put the spell on. That's what I use when I put the spell on Jeremy. So she just outright told me. And anyway, there's a lot to that story. I could tell you more, but long story short, if that's possible, I've been saying that for years. But anyway, Jeremy and I continued playing a band together, and over the course of time, Jeremy got further and further into dark things, into witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And he began talking to me about this stuff. But I want to tell you, brother, the way the devil works, he doesn't come out like the guy on the deviled ham can, the red suit, and go, boo, I'm the devil. He introduces himself very sly. And very, you know, he deceives. That's what he does. And so Jeremy offered me this book to read. And he and I are playing music at the time. We're just kind of, we're not in a serious band together, but we're playing rock music. We're playing here and there. There's a place where we play together. And he hands me this book, and it's called The Teachings of Don Juan. And it's a book about this... this man named Carlos Castaneda. He's the author of the books, and he's an anthropology student, and he goes down into Mexico, Sonora, Mexico, and he studies with this old man, Juan Mattis. They call him Don Juan Mattis, and he's a Yaqui Indian sorcerer, and it's a storybook, and I got fascinated with it, much like people today get fascinated with these Twilight books or Stephen King novels or whatever. I got fascinated with reading these books, and when I'd finish one, he'd hand me another by the same author. And as I'm reading these things, I start finding myself getting interested in out-of-body experience, and I start talking to him about, and of course there's drugs involved, and there's, you know, it's just a crazy, chaotic lifestyle that we're living at that time. There's lots of drugs involved. And so the more and more I read these books, the more and more I find that I'm interested in finding out about this stuff. But, brother, I want to be honest with you. I had no idea I was fooling with witchcraft while I was right in the middle of it.
Yep.
I had no idea that I was that close to witchcraft. It's so deceptive. It comes at you like a story, and it catches you up in it. And I know we're about to have to take a break here, but I want to save the finale of this because it is a finale, and thank God it was a finale. I want to tell you, I went about as far, I believe, as a person can go without God just rubbing them out like a greasy spot, and that's what I deserved. And there's not a day that I live that I don't praise God for not doing that. And as I told folks last Sunday night when I preached out at the nursing home, I told him, I said, the only reason why God didn't kill me is evidently he could see down the road that I'd preach his word, and he wanted me to preach his word. That's the only reason why, because I'm of no worth otherwise. And I just want to give God glory for not rubbing me out when he could have. But I went through several phases of going deeper into the evils of rock music. And, you know, through the psychedelic drugs, promiscuity, just the rebellious lifestyle, you know, every bit of it, it is just as wicked as can be. But you find that, you know, when you get into that rock music, you know, you accept things. You say, oh, well, that's not really what they're saying in that lyric, and that's not really what that means. You start making all kinds of excuses as a believer as to why they're saying things they're saying. And eventually you get to where that you don't even question those things anymore. It just happens so gradually until you get to where you're singing them and you don't even think what you're singing. I can't tell you how many times I've sang the lyrics, I'm on the highway to hell. I'm not on the highway to hell.
Yeah.
I'm not on the cotton-picking highway to hell. I'm saved. But, you know, how many times did I sing that?
You're right.
I mean, I can actually, brother, I can actually remember, and I'm saying all these things to my shame. And I know there are people probably listening saying, he's bragging on the devil, and I'm not bragging on the devil. I just want to share this because I want people to understand that there is a deep, dark tunnel that rock and roll will take you down, and for a lot of people there ain't no coming back, and I made it out, and I praise God, and I want to give him glory. But I tell you what, we probably better take a break, brother, so I'll turn it back over to you. You can lead us out, and I'll pick it back up when we come back.
Amen. All right, I guess it would be time. Don't Take Your Life, Take Mine by the Marksman Quartet, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes on the Old Paths Broadcast.
Every battle is sin. My mind was fighting a war I couldn't win. Satan said, you're better off dead than alive. So I had decided that I'd take my life. My soul's trembling outside the gates of hell. That hour of weakness, my troubled mind fails. mercy and grace. Somebody was praying, I heard Jesus saying, don't take your life, don't take your life, don't take your life, take mine. Then my mind went back to an old rugged cross, and the preacher who told me Jesus died for the lost. I thank God he held me and would not let go. He didn't just save my life, but he saved my soul. Somebody
broadcast. I'm Brother Brandon T. And Brother Jason evidently had to step away for just a second. But I want to get back into the story and take us along here. He'll come back in just a minute. But before we took the break, I was talking about how rock and roll had led me down such a horrible, horrible path. And, you know, it was, and here I was, a believer. And I was running from God, and ultimately I was running from a calling that God had on my life because, you know, God called me to preach. I'm a pastor, and I ultimately surrendered to preach after I surrendered my will to him. But excuse my coughing tonight, folks. But to get back into the story, I was in a band with a guy named Jeremy, and Jeremy was heavily into witchcraft, and he didn't talk about it a lot, but he when he was especially under the influence of drugs, he would act as if he were summoning powers. I can remember a time that we had a dead battery, and Jeremy told me, he said, I want to try something. He said, let's all hold hands for a second, and he raised his hands out, and then we're gonna put our hands on the car, and then you go start the car, and the battery started. The battery had enough juice, and the car turned over and started. Don't ask me how that happened. I know that Satan's the prince of the power of the air, and I know that he's able to do miraculous things. You back, brother?
I'm back, brother, and yes, you're right. He can do that, those kind of things.
So I've seen freaky things like that happen.
Hey, by the way, let me ask you a question. When you just said that, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I just for
no,
a second.
Okay.
But when you said that, what did you guys do? You guys did what? You held hands, or what did you do exactly?
Well, seems like we held hands and kind of closed our eyes, and then he said, let's all put our hands on the car.
Did you make
like
a circle? Or did you make a circle?
No,
or
I think we just stood there by the corner of the car where the battery was, or something. I don't know. I can't remember. I can't even remember now, to be honest with you. But I know it was like, you know, let's channel our energy together and see if we can get this car to start. And you know, that's weird. That's very, very. And you know, I can remember another time being in his apartment. Well, it really wasn't an apartment. He lived in a lawnmower shed behind his mom's house. And he had all this music equipment and Marilyn Monroe posters on the wall. He was a real strange guy. I remember, you know, he and I getting high together and then him bringing out this crystal. And he said, hey, put this in your hand. And he set this crystal, and it was a huge crystal in my hand. And my hand started to vibrate. And I felt that vibration go all the way up my arm, and it just took my whole body over with vibration. And, you know, and I couldn't explain what that was or why it was doing that, but it was like this huge vibration that went all over me. And it really scared me. I didn't let him know it scared me, but it scared me because I knew, listen, that was something that didn't come from God. And that frightened me. You know, brother, even though I was living wickedly, I mean, I knew I was a child of God. I can remember times being on LSD and somebody saying in the room saying, you know, what if Jesus were to come back right now? What would happen? And, you know, and people getting scared. And, wow. You know, it was a bunch of teenage kids, and some of them were saved, you know, and they knew better. But they allowed themselves to get in that world. And, but long story short, I want to tell you about what happened with the finality of it all. I'd kind of gotten to asking him questions about how in the world would somebody do some kind of out of body experience? What is that? You know, I began to ask him questions about that. And, you know, I was never participating in trying to do any of the things that he was doing. I was just curious about it. And, of course, I was never able to understand it all. But he was trying to explain to me how to do it. And, he would tell me things like, what you need to do is you need to close your eyes and roll your eyes back in your head as far as you can until you see a blue ball, a bright blue ball. And when you do, you focus all your energy on looking into that blue ball. And, I never could do that. But, I mean, that was one of the weird things he would tell me to try to do. And, but to bring all this to conclusion, how God got to me and I come out of this world of rock music. We were going to a party. I'm sure they called it the same thing everywhere, but they called it a rave. And, we went to this rave. And, that night I took some LSD. He took LSD and ecstasy. And, and I had bought some ecstasy, but I hadn't taken it. It was in my pocket. And, my girlfriend had told me, if you take ecstasy, I'm leaving. Well, she just meant I don't want to be around. But what I took it was she was leaving for good. So I had to, for whatever reason, I didn't take it. And I'm thankful I didn't. But, long story short, he vomited, he got sick, and he drove us back to my place and told me halfway there, he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, I can't even see where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. And, of course, wow. I never questioned it. I just rode with him. We got to my place, and he sat down in the floor, and he sat down on the floor. I guess they call it the lotus position, with his legs folded in. And are we still there, brother?
I'm listening.
Okay, I'm trying to move throughout the house. I've got a whining dog that's about to start barking. So
sorry.
Okay, but anyway, he sat down on the floor in the lotus position and folded his hands in as if he were praying and pointed them down at the floor. And bowed his head and all his long black hair hanging down. And he sat like that motionless for the longest time. And, it was just me and him in the house and my girlfriend at the time, and she was asleep. And I just started wandering the house and I knew, I felt like something bad had gotten all over me. I felt so uncomfortable. And, I went and sat down. And, in the living room in front of our Christmas tree. And I thought, well, I'll watch the lights and that'll put me in a better mood and I'll be okay. And I kept telling myself this is going to all be okay. And, I just kept feeling worse and worse. And brother, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I started shaking. And I don't mean trembling like I'm cold. I'm talking about shaking like somebody is shaking me physically. And, this was just overwhelming. And, I got up and I walked into the bedroom and, the television was on and I looked at the television and, I remember the Orlando Magic were playing somebody in basketball and Penny Hardaway was at the free throw line. Well, he had red eyes, and he had ram's horns growing out of his head and this long goatee hanging down. I looked in the mirror, my face haired over and then cracked and slid off. I went back into the other room where he was at, and I sat down again, and I just started shaking violently all over. And I looked at him, and I said, something is so wrong. Something is so wrong. And he looked up at me, brother, and I'm going to tell you something. It was a scary sight. He had no pupils. He had no iris of his eyes. His eyes were rolled back, and they were as white as could be. And this voice came out of him that was not him. It was it's like the Bible describes the sound of waters. It was this big, deep, dark, distant voice that said, just go with it, man.
Oh, man.
And I said, I don't want to go with it. I know. And I got up and I walked into the other room and I told my girlfriend to hold me. I said, I feel as though I'm about to die. I said, I feel like I'm going to die. You're the only thing in this room that's alive. And she put her arms around me. And when I put my arms around her, brother, this is where it really got scary. I stopped shaking and she started shaking.
Mm.
And it made her physically sick. And she ran into the bathroom. I followed her into the bathroom and I told her, I said, you're going to have to pray and ask God to make this leave, whatever this is. And long story short, she prayed, and as soon as she prayed, it was gone. I mean, peace. Absolute just peace. I wasn't on anything anymore. I was just as sober as could be. Whatever it was gone. And, we walked into the next room, and there he was, and he looked up at me, and his eyes were normal. And I told him, I said, you can let yourself out. And, it was about a week after that God finally, he got to me one night, and he basically told me, it's sink or swim. You either let me have you or I'm taking you.
Yeah.
And I yielded to him that night, and I let him have me. And, I've been serving him ever since. But it nearly took my life for me to turn around. And that's how hard-headed and stubborn I am. And I'm just so thankful that God is long-suffering, because had he not been long-suffering, I'd have been long gone.
Wow. You know, that it's interesting. A few of the things that I remember, you just said, one of the things in particular, just go with it. You know, it's like Aleister Crowley said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. You know, just do it. Just do whatever, just go with it. Just don't resist it and do whatever you want. You know, do whatever your flesh feels like doing. And you had some demon oppression going on there. Demonic activity.
Absolutely, I did.
You know, that's what that was.
Absolutely. I mean, don't let somebody tell me it ain't real. I've been there. I've lived it. I've had it on me. And I know it's real. And that's why it scares me so for kids today, and not only kids, but young adults who are still in love with that music.
Yeah.
Young man I'm Facebook friend with, and he's somebody that I grew up with. I say young man, he's my age. He's not young at all. But he just got saved a couple months ago or a year ago or so, and he's just going on and on about how he loves the Lord, and he's so excited, and he's in a church, and he's happy with his church. But he told me in private message, he wanted to know if I still played music, because he said, I still love all that old Motley Crue and all that stuff. And I think to myself, how do you not see that's wrong? But then I realized, hey, I didn't see what was wrong with it. You know, I was a babe in Christ, and I didn't see the danger. And that's the thing. There's no sign. You know, they put explicit lyrics on some of them, but they don't put a warning sticker that says, this music will doom your soul. This music will destroy you. And that's what they should do, because that's exactly what it will do.
Yeah.
You talk about a gateway drug, brother. Music is a gateway drug. And it has as much power over the human body as any drug.
Yeah, brother, I wish people would realize that. Before I forget, though, if you want to call in our show, it's 646-915-9226. 9266. Maybe you have a testimony of the Lord saving you out of rock music, or just, you know, you were kind of in deep into that rock culture, that the culture, what I call a culture of death. And really, I want to do a show in the future with Brother Nate. Brother Nate had a lot of experience in the death metal music, and he's going to come on sometime and just really talk about that culture and of death metal and how that has absolutely captivated young people today. I mean, they are just, you know, and I have a feeling there's some guys that I work out with at the gym. I mean, we all work out there together, not actually together, but you know what I mean. But it's not like I hang out with them or something, but I mean, they're at the gym there, but I mean, the guys there, I know they're listening to death metal. I know they are. They're listening to banging music, you know, that's just banging their head. And that's
I get some pumped up, lift those weights. Yeah, it makes a rage come out of them.
Right. And, I mean, that's this culture. That's
yeah.
What it's all about.
It's that primal, animalistic, I'm going to destroy something rage that comes with that music. And brother, unless you've been in a stadium, and I don't know your concert going past, but I can tell you from being and down here where we live, in this area, there was such thing at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, used to be years ago called the Texas Jam, and they had, you know, it was all day. It started in the morning and closed out late at night, and it was a long festival of hard heavy metal bands and rock bands. And until you've been in the middle of a floor of a stadium when Metallica is on and they're doing the song Creeping Death, which is about the angel of death coming through Egypt and killing the firstborn, and you hear them all, the kick drums pounding and the strobe lights flashing, and you see 70,000 El Diablo signs waving in the air and people chanting, die, die, die. I mean, there's power in that.
Yeah.
It's demonic power. And I've stood in the midst of that. And I'm going to tell you something, that'll make a hair stand up everywhere. It'll give you chills. You know there's something very, very powerfully, powerfully evil and dark. And I mean, you know, any of us who've researched this stuff, who's ever seen Marilyn Manson stand behind his pulpit and rip a Bible apart and blaspheme God, I mean, you can see the satanic power that him and his congregation are wielding there together. And again, you say, oh, well, surely that's not what they mean. They wouldn't be singing that and being serious. And the bands try to play it off as tongue in cheek. They try to, I remember reading a quote just the other day, and you may have posted it, where Nico McBrain, the drummer from Iron Maiden, claiming to be a born-again Christian and saying that, you know, singing 666, the number of the beast, that's just tongue in cheek, you know. Well, it's not tongue in cheek, and I've seen their devotees, and believe you me, they don't take it tongue in cheek.
No,
there's nothing more frightening in the world, and I will tell you, I was on the floor of the Cotton Bowl, right before Metallica took the stage, and there was a rush of very scary people. It came toward the stage, and I mean, we vacated the area. It frightened the stuffings out of us. I mean, we were just a bunch of wannabes down there. And, I mean, it literally, there's demonic power darker than anybody can even conceive of. And, rock music just opens the door for it. It gives it a platform, a venue. It's like, welcome to our altar and let's worship this dark, God we call rock and roll music. I mean, that's what it is. It's exalting Satan.
When you listen, in your experience with you have experienced a lot of music. Do you say, like, when you went to Metallica and those different concerts and things like that, you felt an energy that was there that was not normal, something that was not right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, brother, I can remember. I remember. Being at that very same concert I talked about seeing Metallica at, I can remember being so exhausted and sitting at the end of the stadium trying to get my wits about me, seeing a friend of mine and him saying, hey, let's go to the front of the stage for Van Halen. And he said, grab my belt, Luke, and just hang on. And we went through the floor of the Cotton Bowl, and I remember stepping on somebody who was passed out on the floor. I mean, people just stepping on people. I mean, it's madness. Every kind of lewd behavior you can imagine goes on down near the stage. And, it's just horrible. And, there's such a dark energy that goes along with that. And, there's no denying it whatsoever.
Now, when you, you were you went to Nashville for a while, didn't you, and tried to make a country career out of it too as well.
I did, yeah. That didn't last very long, but we tried to do that, my brother and I. And I found out, I saw, when I went to Nashville, I saw the machine that is the music business at work, and what I saw just absolutely disgusted me. You know, I saw people who, sold themselves for a living in order to support their chance to make it in the music business. I mean, you know, I saw the lowest of the low, and I just told myself, it's not worth that. It's not worth that. And I came home, and I praised God that I had enough sense to get in the car and come home.
Well, listen, I want to go through some of these people that have died. When I talked about a culture of death, I want to give you some statistics here, some people that actually died from rock and roll music and kind of their ages of when they died. You know, rock and roll and country, there's no difference, you know. But I find it fascinating that it's a culture of death, because you see that these people that sing rock and roll music and these rock and roll, they die young. They don't live. Most people don't live a long life.
Usually 27 years of age.
It's really weird. I mean,
is that not the number you came up with? 27?
Well, I didn't do an average, but I just took all of them, and I'll show you some of them. Okay, Hank Williams, 29 years old.
Right.
Interesting
story. Interesting. Let me throw this at you about Hank Williams. This was shared to me by Brother Mark Wheeler of the Marksman Quartet. Ira Lubin of the Lubin Brothers. I'm not sure if you know that name or not. They did a lot of gospel music. He was friends with Hank Williams Sr. And he told Brother Mark Wheeler, he said, Hank Sr. was called to preach. And Hank Sr. ran from God, and God killed him. And that's Ira Lubin's words.
Wow.
I couldn't tell you, I couldn't verify that story, but it came from a pretty reputable source.
Wow.
That would explain him drinking himself into oblivion.
Well, yeah, when you try to drink away the voice of God so you don't have to hear it. I mean, there's people out there that attempt to do that, that's for sure. You know, like I couldn't verify it, but I'll tell you, it wouldn't shock me if that was the case.
Right.
Billy Haley and his Comets, age 33. Broken neck from falling down the stairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Johnny H. 25 years old, December 24th, 1954, accidental shooting. Buddy Holly and the Crickets. Buddy Holly, age 22 years old, he died in a plane crash.
Right.
Him and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens all died.
You know, I got an interesting story about that night, if you care to know.
Keep going, yeah.
You know, Waylon Jennings was Waylon Jennings, country singer, was Buddy Holly's bass player. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Waylon Jennings was supposed to get on that airplane that night. But he gave Richie Valens, or now he gave Buddy Holly his seat, and Waylon took the bus, and it was the heater didn't work on the bus. And anyway, Buddy Holly said to Waylon, he said, I hope you freeze. And Waylon, last thing he said to him was, I hope you crash. And he lived with the knowledge that Buddy Holly crashed after he told him that.
Wow. Boy, that's something, ain't it?
I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm full of a lot of useless information, but some of it fits sometimes.
Eddie Guitar Slim Jones, 32 years old, died of pneumonia. Billy Stewart, 32 years old, died of a car accident. Let's see. I don't know who the Shangri-Las are, do you?
That was a girl group a long time ago.
22 years old, barbiturate overdose.
Hmm.
Yeah. Canned Heat. Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. Canned Heat. Saying going up the country, and they played at Woodstock, brother. They're a long way back there.
Okay. Okay. Jimi Hendrix experience. Jimi Hendrix, 27 years old. Asphyxiation on vomit.
Yep, he vomited in his pillow and he drowned on it.
What a way to go. When you know, he was a voodoo guy, and
yeah,
you know, Satanist, and he met Satan, that's for sure. Janis Joplin, 27 years old, heroin overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy from Canned Heat, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all 27, all right around the same time.
Really strange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then don't forget Jim Morrison, 27.
Yeah, 27, yeah.
Singer. And if I'm not mistaken, Mama Cass, lead singer of the Mamas and the Papas, also 27.
Wow.
Spanky all around the same time.
Spanky and Art Gang, 32? I don't know who that is.
Oh, you know who Spanky is. He wasn't a singer. He was the Little Rascals.
I don't know why they got him under singers, but that's weird.
I have no idea. I never
maybe he sung a song or something. Let's see. The Allman Brothers Band, Dwayne Allman, the Allman Brothers Band.
Right. Motorcycle crash.
Yeah, motorcycle crash, 24 years old. Wow. Stone the Crows, 27 years. Leslie Harvey, Stone the Crows.
Never heard of that one.
Electrocuted by a live microphone on stage.
Wow. You know, that happened to... That happened to a so-called pastor over in Waco, Texas, too.
Wow.
Did you ever hear about that?
I did. I watched the video of it.
The guy in this kind of a modern liberal church, and he was about to do a baptism, and he prayed, "Lord, surprise me," and he touched the mic and it electrocuted him.
That was a surprise.
He said, God surprised him.
Wow.
You know, I bet the first thing that God says to him when he sees God is, "Were you surprised?"
Yeah. Ouch. Wow. You know what? We got about 1 minute to a break here, but let's see if there's any more here that I haven't. Well, there's a bunch of them. We'll come back with some more here too in a few minutes here. We've got what do we got up here tonight? We've got "This Is My Crowd" by the Marksman Quartet, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on the Old Pad Broadcast.
This is my crowd. Sometimes we're down when we get to praising the Lord. We're not ashamed. Speak Jesus' name. Testify. Treasures in heaven, riches untold. Sold out on Jesus, we just
Biggie Small. It's real name was Christopher Wallace. He was a gangster rapper, was shot to death in 1997 at the age of 24.
It was only three. It was like a mafia hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I think it was because of Tupac Shakur, because I remember I used to listen to Tupac Shakur, man. I had all of his CDs, or a bunch of his CDs. I mean, I liked the guy a lot. I did back then when I was a lost man, you know, he was a gangster rapper, and he founded the Outlaws, Immortals, and after he was released from prison in 1995, he was shot to death a year later at age 25. Yeah. That's something.
You live by it, you die by it.
That's right. Russell Tyrone Jones, a.k.a. Old Dirty Bastard of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, mercy. Mercy's sake.
He died in November of 2004 of a drug over. I mean, who walks around calling themselves Old Dirty Bastard? I mean, please. This is just. But this is that culture of death. What they live by, they die by.
Absolutely. I mean, let's not forget what the scripture says over there in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. He that sinneth against me hateth his own soul, and all them that hate me. No, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all them that hate me, love death.
That's right. That's right. Death, that's what they love. And when they focus on that, that living for the world, that living for the flesh, that living for do what thou wilt, Jay-Z's got across his shirts, do what thou wilt.
Oh, he's ate up with that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an Illuminati.
Taking money off of it.
Oh, billions. I mean, those guys are loaded, man. He's not worth a billion yet, but he's worth, I did a net worth study of these men. These people are trafficking and making millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars off of people. And this Jay-Z is worth like $500 million. Sean P. Diddy Combs is worth, he's worth almost $700 million, and it's all from liquor. He sells liquor, not to mention his music and stuff. But these guys talk about, they sing about murdering and death and violence and destruction, and look how they die.
Exactly.
Look how they die.
They're all pawns, and they don't even realize it. They think they're kings, but they're really just pawns.
They are. They're pawns for the devil, and he's using it. He's using it. But now let's look at that. That's the. Listen, folks. You can do a Google search, and you can find more of these people that have died. These rappers, these rockers, and I mean, at a young age. I mean, look at Elvis. The way that guy died. I mean, didn't he die on the
throne? He died on the throne, didn't he? He died on the throne.
And that's about what he was a king of, toilet trash. That's right.
God's got a sense of humor, brother.
He sure does. Well, listen,
that's
the Bible,
what he said. Hey, he said he'll laugh at their calamity. That's what he said.
Amen, brother. You're right. That is what he says. Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. So what does this culture of death do? What does it do to people? What does it do to the people listening to it? Well, listen to this. Harris and Klebold, they were the ones that had their Columbine killers. They loved wretched forms of rock music. Their music was described as mostly banging and screaming. Dylan is described as jamming music in his head. They particularly liked the German group KMFDM. The letters stand for the German words Kien, I can't even say that, Mehrheit für die Mitglied, which means no mercy for the masses.
They had some weird sick song called White Flesh, and then there was another band they were into called Rammstein, and it was talking about, you know, shooting in the schoolyard.
There you go, that's it. An editorial review on Amazon describes their music as a mix of aggressive stormtrooper grooves with lacerating scrawls of electronic noise, and the lead voice as that skinny puppy yowl from hell. Wow. Their 1995 album was entitled Nihil Nothing and included the following edifying cuts: Beast, Terror, Search and Destroy, Disobedience, Brute. Eric idolized and quoted the band frequently. He posted the lyrics to songs Anarchy, Power, Son of a Gun, Stray Bullet, and Wink on his website. In the junior yearbook of a fellow student, Eric wrote, "If it moves, kill it. If it doesn't, burn it. Key and midlight."
Yeah, they're just tapping into that primal rage. And I mean, it doesn't take much to get it whipped up into a frenzy. I mean, and it resides in every human being that lives on the planet. It's just that when the child of God has the presence and power of God, then that part of you can't live. It can't thrive.
No.
But when a child of God begins to listen to that garbage and entertain that garbage, they have to tell God, "You stay right here. I'm going to do this," because God's not going to be a partner in that.
That's right.
And so you end up breaking your relationship, your fellowship with God, not your relationship, but your fellowship with God. And you know, it's got a hook in it. That's the thing. That's you know, and I'm not talking about the song hook. I'm not talking about the catchiness of the tune. I'm talking about it's got a hook in it. And it you know, once you get hooked, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get hooked, I mean, you're at the mercy of the one reeling you in. And you know, we've all heard the expression, "Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it'll cost you more than you meant to pay."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what rock and roll music will do, and it'll take you to where you absolutely adore the darkness.
That's right. This is typical rock and roll response when someone takes their sorry music seriously. They claim that it's only entertainment. The band issued a statement saying, "Oh, none of us condone any Nazi beliefs whatsoever." Yeah, right. What a bunch of liars.
It's just art.
Yeah, it's just art. It doesn't mean anything. Harrison Klebold also loved Nine Inch Nails. In this journal, Dylan often referred to the 1994 Nine Inch Nails album, The Downward Spiral, which described the man who unravels and kills himself. Dylan felt that this described his own life. The cuts on the album include March of the Pig, Mr. Self-Destruct, and Reptile. There is a line in the cut entitled Heresy that says, "Your God is dead and no one cares. If there is hell, I'll see you there."
Yeah, I remember that album. I remember that same guy described Jeremy playing that album in my apartment. And I remember the absolute hatred I had for that album. You know, I mean, we listened to a lot of music during that time. And, you know, I couldn't stand Nine Inch Nails. I couldn't stand that death metal. I couldn't stand that death culture music.
Does anybody know what the Nine Inch Nails stands for, why they called them?
Well, of course. I believe they're referring to this idea that that's how long the nails were that were driven into Christ's hands and feet.
Wow, blasphemous pigs.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Reznor recorded the album in a studio he called Les Pigs, which he built in the house where Sharon Tate and four others were brutally murdered by the Charles Manson cult. Les Pig is the message that was scrawled on the front door in Tate's blood. Reznor's violent music is described by the All Music Guide to Rock as relentless darkness, a towering monument of angst and hatred, raging, angry assault, and undiluted rage. Reznor's first album was entitled Pretty Hate Machine. Nine Inch Nails' Closer video shows a monkey crucified on a cross.
Yeah, and video Closer. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, that the lyrics in the song Closer are so vile that it's not even worth ever looking up or looking into. But it's blasphemous against God. It's basically equating animalistic sex with an experience with God. That's what it's doing. And it's just blasphemous as blasphemy can be. And I just want to add this for the record. I know you want to get into the CCM stuff. The same video director that directed the video for Trent Reznor's Nine Inch Nails video Closer with that monkey on a crucifix is the same video director hired by DC Talk, the contemporary Christian music band, when they did their video for their song Jesus Freak. It's the same video director, and if you watch the video,
I watched that video. I got to keep moving here because I want to get this out before we run out of time. But I watched that video, Jesus Freak, and that to me, I mean, it's blasphemous. But that video right there and that music, that's nothing different than the world. That's exactly the same thing. There is no difference in rock. That's rock music. Plain and simple. Let me move on here, though, because I want to prove this death culture thing here. In October 1984, a 19-year-old teenager – so, look, first of all, Eric Klebold and those men, Columbine, death from listening to that music. In October 1984, a 19-year-old teenager named John M. shot himself in the head while listening to Ozzy Osbourne's Suicide Solution. When the coroner entered the room, he found the headphones still on John's head. This would be one of the tragedies that caused Ozzy's immeasurable grief. In 1986, Ozzy had just gotten off a plane at LAX Airport when people began asking him about the lawsuits. Ozzy knew nothing about a lawsuit, but the details quickly emerged. Three lawsuits had been launched against Ozzy, claiming that his lyrics had caused youth to commit suicide. The family of John hired attorney Thomas Anderson in a lawsuit against Ozzy. Mr. Anderson claimed on the Don't Blame Me, Ozzy video that the song contained tones known as hemisync and would cause a person to be unable to resist what was being said in the song. Now listen to this. The Institute for Bioacoustic Research was hired to evaluate the song. They claimed to have found subliminal lyrics that weren't included in the lyric sheets. These subliminal lyrics were sung at 1.5 times the normal rate of speech and are not recognized by a first-time listener. The Institute claimed the subliminal lyrics are audible enough that their meaning and their true intent becomes clear. After being listened to over and over again, the subliminal lyrics in question were, "Why try? Why try? Get the gun and try it. Shoot, shoot, shoot." Followed by a hideous laughter. Further analysis by Ibar revealed the hemisync tone, which result from a patent process that used sound waves to influence an individual's mental state. The tones have been found to increase the rate at which the human brain assimilates and processes information. Ibar claimed these tones made John vulnerable to the suggestive lyrics, which Ozzy sang. Ozzy's lawyers claimed that this was nonsense and relied upon the First Amendment of the Constitution to argue that Ozzy could write about anything he wanted. Three people had now taken their lives, and in each case it was Ozzy's Suicide Solution song, which was the focus as the cause of death. Mr. Anderson claimed that the words shoot, shoot, get the gun were audible in the song. There is an effect which can be heard on the song, be interpreted as that if you tried hard enough. The sounds were just Ozzy messing around with the soundboard. Ozzy said, "I've now been sued by about 25 people who claim their kids committed suicide from listening to my music."
Huh.
A schoolboy killed himself for listening to death metal on his iPod. That's heard. Truman Edley, who was just 15 years old at the time of his death, hanged himself in the hallway of the family home in Rotherham after he had been listening to the violent music. A coroner refused to name the band he was listening to or publish the extreme lyrics, which formed part of the evidence at the inquest in Rotherham. 2 days before Christmas in 1984, a pair of young Nevada men shot themselves after listening to albums by the heavy metal band Judas Priest. Today, the rock group and the CBS Records went on trial in Washoe County District Court here, accused by the men's families of having driven them to suicide. As the members of Judas Priest, dressed in dark business suits instead of the dark leather garb they favor on stage, looked on silently, lawyers for the families of Raymond Belknap and James Vance argued that the musicians had placed subliminal messages in several recordings, including the album Stained Glass, thereby inciting the true troubled young men to try to kill themselves. Both the group and its record label are charged in a civil suit with the liability arising from the manufacture and marketing of a faculty product, as well as negligence and intentional reckless misconduct. Judas Priest and CBS pander this staff to alienate teenagers. Now, by the way, you parents have to have a rock in your stinking head to allow your children to listen to this music without subliminal messages in it. It's from the pit of hell in the first place. It sounds
absolutely
like the message is hell. It's wicked, blasphemous, satanic stuff, and it should not be listened to by God's people, or any Christian should be listening to this. But parents out there that are even lost need to get born again by the Spirit of God and wake up to know that that stuff is nothing but satanic. And by the way, who gives their child an iPod and hands them access to an internet and allows them to listen to all the garbage from hell out there and not know what your children are doing? It's blatant negligence is what it is.
Yep, that's right.
Amen.
That's absolutely correct, brother. You said it. I mean, Judas Priest, I mean, come on. That ought to tell you all you need to know. What was Judas?
Hey, yeah,
exactly. Son of perdition. He's a Judas Priest. I mean, the lead singer, he's a flaming sodomite. the lead singer of Judas Priest, by the way.
Wow, really?
Rob Halford. Yeah. Again, I know way too much information, but it's just over the years, I've just paid attention when something happened to one of these guys because I was so involved with them. You know, that's one thing about it. Once you get your interest in something, you become obsessed with it. I mean, it's how you watch these people that are into these different groups. I mean, they just absolutely go all out. And I was a very impressionable young person. I mean, my body bears scars of my journey through rock music. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But, you know, I marked my body with tattoos of some of these bands that I was so into. I mean, it's stupidity. And I should listen to my grandmother who told me that, you know, you're going to be an old man someday and that stuff's going to be on your body. I didn't listen. People get so caught up in that world that they just absolutely lose all sense of what's right and wrong. And, you know, it's no shock to me that people kill themselves listening to that stuff because it's about despair. It's about darkness. It's about destruction. I mean, you know, a friend of mine in high school, a boy named Johnny O'Neill, he hung himself and he was a big fan of the rock group Wasp. And I don't know if you remember that one, brother. That was a...
Yep.
And Wasp. Yep. I believe it stood for White Anglo-Saxon Power. But they were into death and destruction. And he hung himself from the rafters in his attic with a bed sheet.
Wow. And, see? It's a culture of death. That's what it is. Don't let your children listen to this garbage. I want to give you something else here. Marilyn Manson. Manson's lyrics. I mean, and there's worse than that. Nate's going to get into some of these things sometime. Brother, we're going to have him come on, and he's going to get into some of these real death metal issues that's harder than this stuff. I mean, he knows about it. He studied. He was in it. God saved him out of it. It's just a neat death. But listen, the Columbine kids. They listen to Marilyn Manson, too. Listen to these lyrics. Manson's song, Kill, 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 are presented here in their original form. I don't know what is wrong with me. The person I used to know and love is no longer me. Maybe it is my gun every time I look at it. It says, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. I believe it has me under a spell that will soon take me to hell. I threw it away once, but it came back the next day and shot me in the leg and said, blank you. About a week later, I tried getting rid of it again by burning it, but the next day it came back and blew my hand off and said, if you ever blank with me again, I'm going to kill, kill, kill. I'm going to kill, kill, kill.
Wow. Oh, brother.
All they hate me love death.
They love it. Yeah, you can't say the biggest lies that you can straddle that fence, but you can't.
No.
You just cannot walk. You cannot walk the top of that fence. And you know, I realize we're not talking to those who are out there who are head over heels into that death metal. Probably we're probably talking to some moms and dads whose kids listen to maybe some things they shouldn't be listening to. But it's not a far journey from your Katy Perry's and your Britney Spears to the darkness and the depths of evil, because those people are in it. Just because there's a shiny, glitzy package on it doesn't mean it's not as dark and evil as Slayer or Sepultura or Deicide. Just because they put a lot of glitz and flash on it, it doesn't change what's underneath. And what's underneath is nothing more than pure Satanism. I mean, you can make it flashier, you can make it grungy. You can do anything you want to with it, but the message is still the same. It's rebellion. It's blasphemy against God. It's unbridled, animalistic, whatever your heart desires, whatever your flesh desires, you fulfill those desires. It's rage, it's murder, it's hatred, it's destruction, it's death. It's all it is. It's all it is.
And you know, it's one of the... It's taking people down.
Mm-hmm.
It's it weakens any Christians that listen to it. It weakens them. It weakens your faith. It makes you, and I believe it puts you into a position of the flesh being led by the devil, and that your flesh isn't saved, and it's being led by the devil. It's being entertained by devils, and it's got to be repented of. It's got to be walked away from. It's got to be preached loudly against.
That's right.
You know, and it's a trap.
You got to repent. You've got to confess and forsake. You can't keep your big toe in it. I mean, it's not, you can't just sit there and, you know, like a person dipping their toes in the pool. You can't do that. Because if you do that, you'll get sucked right into it.
And people are. And it's a lifestyle. Rock and roll is, it's a lifestyle. Rock, rap, whatever it is, there's a lifestyle attached to it. None of it is godly.
Sure.
Nothing, I mean, these CCM artists are not godly. They don't walk around for the Lord. They have people that produce their albums that are sodomites. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's Hollywood, brother. It's Hollywood. The music industry's Hollywood. You know, I mean, they're all the same people. They're all tied together. They're all working for the same purpose. They all got the same master.
Mm.
They're all leading to the same place. And, you know
what Marilyn Manson said? You know what Marilyn Manson said? He said, music is the strongest form of magic.
Oh, sure. It is. And it is a drug that will consume you.
Mm.
Absolutely. It speaks to you. We've talked about it. We talked about it, you know, we did the show on country music. You know, just what it does to the body. I mean, it just, you know, maybe it wasn't that show, but anyway, we talked about how it has an effect on you. Yeah, it was when we did that show on that, because we talked about how music is not neutral. It's absolutely not neutral. It definitely has a moving force. It's like a tidal wave washes over you. You sit down and put on a Pink Floyd album and see if that doesn't take you to another place. It does. And, you know, something that powerful is not something we need to entertain.
No. No, it's not. It's definitely not. We've got to stand against it. And, you know, in this day and age, music is being used. It's being used to merge the church with the world. It's being,
right.
it's hypnotizing the church today. You know, it's hypnotizing the church today and the churches today, and they're being seduced by it, and pulpits are being ruined or destroyed by it. Churches are being, standards are being ignored now. There isn't any. I mean, it's just the church is going to the world, and it's done through the music.
Yep, that's right.
So,
and don't think for one second Satan doesn't know exactly what he's doing.
You got that right, brother. Well, listen, brother, we are out of time.
Absolutely, brother. I tell you what, it's good. It's good to be back on the air.
It was good to have you back, Brother Teague. And man, this show went fast. I can't believe how fast it went. But we'll be back next week with something else. And good to have you again, brother. And please,
yes, sir,
get this message out to your friends. They need to know about this rock music, how wicked and satanic it is, and to repent of it and get their hearts right with God. Listen to some good godly music. We'll see you next week. God bless you all.
One another, sex.